It's a beautiful day here in Jacksonville, Florida. I was driving here this morning and thinking about the gracious God that we serve and all of the blessings that He continues to bestow upon us as His children. He's the sovereign of the universe. He reigns and rules. And without Him, we would not be the people that we need to be, and certainly would not have salvation, peace, forgiveness of sin, and hope of everlasting life. And aren't we grateful to God we have those things? This morning I want to talk to you about a very popular man in the Bible. David was very popular. He was a man that was victorious as a shepherd over a lion and a bear. David also stepped up to the plate when this Philistine giant was defying the armies of Israel. And he decided to enter into a fight with that Philistine, and he was victorious over him because he was on God's side. And God gave him the victory. David acted with all integrity when King Saul was chasing him like a vicious animal and trying to destroy his life. David, the Bible says in Acts 13:22, was a man after God's own heart. And when we think about that, brethren, I want to think personally, if I am that type of person as well, am I after God's own heart? Am I seeking God in every thought, in every word, and every action? Is this what I'm doing? Up to this point, as we have discussed this man's life, it seems that he was doing what God wanted him to do. He even led the people of God to spiritual dedication while he was king. So he was concerned about the things of Almighty God. And when we consider ourselves, we also should concern ourselves with the things of God and see what God would have of us as His people. But do you know he was susceptible to sin, just like every other person who has ever lived, and accountable to God, he was susceptible to it. So he messed up, if you will. He sinned against God. That's what I want to talk to us about this morning. I want to look at his sin, look at his reaction to this sin, and also look at God's forgiveness of his sin. Our greatest problem in our world is sin. The reason, because it separates us from our God. Isaiah said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God, and your iniquities have hid his face from you that he will not hear." And that is exactly what happened to David. But I want to note this morning, as we consider his sin, how it progressed and how he got to that point, and then how the help actually came when needed and how he reacted to that help. And then after he reacted the way he did, God forgave him. What a great, gracious, loving, merciful, forgiving God we serve, ladies and gentlemen. He is absolutely wonderful. And I would to God this morning that all of us knew him the way He wants us to know Him and have a relationship with Him, the way He wants to have a relationship with us. God's main priority, number one concern this morning is for His people and the people of the world. He wants what is best for every single person on this earth. Do you believe that? I absolutely believe that's what He wants. And so it should be for us, we put God first. And didn't Jesus Christ teach us that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and things that we are in need of, He will give them or add them to us, Matthew 6:33. Will you turn your Bibles with me to 2 Samuel chapter 11, please. 2 Samuel chapter 11. David was victorious. David was triumphant. David lived a life of integrity. He was dedicated to God. He was devoted to God. But here is a time that he sinned against God. He messed up. And let's see how it unfolded. 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab." Joab was not the king. Joab was captain of the host. Joab was the leader of Israel's army. And what David did was sent Joab to go in his stead. Joab would have been going anyway. But David sent Joab, and the Bible tells us, "And all his servants with him, and all Israel, they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David, he stayed behind." He tarried still at Jerusalem. When you consider this, brethren, the man is acting irresponsible here. The Bible says, when kings go forth to battle, he didn't go. Why did he not go? This was something he was supposed to do. Why? He was king. That's irresponsible on his part. And I do not know the motivation behind it, except we look at these next few verses. This may have been it. I do not know that. But I do know that the Bible says in verse 2, "It came to pass at an eventide, one evening, he arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof saw a woman washing herself." And the Bible says the woman was very beautiful to look upon. She was very attractive. Did he know that this was a time when there would be people in that area, such as females, taking a bath, and then he goes out there with possibility, this mindset, seeing someone very attractive? I do not know that, but this is what happened. And the Bible says that he saw her. And do you know where sin actually starts? It starts with what you perceive, what you see, what you think, what you feel. He saw her. Could David have made the decision at that point to just get off of that track, go back to his room, and avoid that situation altogether? He very well could have done that. And we believe that God's people need to be so enamored with the things of Almighty God that if there is something that comes up that might present a desire to them and it will lead to sin, that's exactly what they do. They make the decision beforehand not to succumb to such. I have to know myself. If that's the case, I have to know my weaknesses. And I have to allow God to guide me and get off of that track if I know that that could cause me to sin. He saw her. Verse 3, he sent and inquired after the woman. So not only did he see her, he's coveting, isn't he? He's desiring her. And so that's what David is doing, and this is how this is progressing, brethren. And one said, is this not the wife of Uriah the Hittite? This is Bathsheba. She's married. She's married to Uriah the Hittite. He's out there with the army of Israel, with Joab his captain, and he's fighting these Ammonites for Israel's cause, for the king's cause. That's what this man's doing, and this is his wife. There was no right David had to her at all. Not at all. But look how strong this desire is. He didn't stop there. The Bible says that he went in unto her and he lay with her. So he saw. He coveted. He took. And brethren, during that, she conceived his child. And she informed him, verse number 5, that she conceived his child. I am with child. It wasn't Uriah the Hittite's child, her husband. It was the king of Israel's child. King David. He sinned, didn't he? He sinned against himself. He sinned against Bathsheba. Sinned against Uriah the Hittite. He sinned against God. So he acted irreverently. He was irresponsible. He was irreverent here. And then we'll see how it progresses. He reacts irrationally to this situation. You know how this story goes, brethren. The Bible says that David, verse 6, sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. If I would have been Uriah the Hittite, I would have probably been questioning, why am I here? What does the king need with me? I'm a soldier in his army. What does King David need with me now? So this is David now acting irrationally because of his irreverence and his irresponsibility. He's trying to cover his sin in an irrational way. So he calls for Uriah to come. He came. David demanded of him, verse 7, how Joab did, how the people did, how the war prospered. David would have known all of that if he would have been with them. He chose to stay back. David said to Uriah, verse 8, you go down to your house and wash your feet. So Uriah, he departed. This is his king giving him commands. So he goes, brethren. He departs. David then sent food to his house. Why? Do you see what he's doing? Why is he doing this? Something is going on. This man is trying to do something. What is it? He has a motive. What is his motive? He's trying to cover his tracks, cover his sin. He thinks that Uriah will go to his house, wash himself, receive this food, He and his wife can enjoy a good evening together. They probably will have relations that night with one another. Then this child, who is David's, might be perceived as Uriah's child. I would suspect that some of you have children. And do they resemble the way either you or your spouse? What if this child would have been born and it didn't look like Uriah? What if this child would have been born and it didn't necessarily look like Bathsheba? I have a son. He does not look like his mother. He looks exactly like his dad. He's just a younger version of me, but he's bigger than I am. I tried to get that boy to play football. He just wouldn't do it. But anyway, I have a nephew that's 6'8", that weighs about 285 pounds. Those coaches were after those two to play football. They just wouldn't do it. But at any rate, Brother David, he's acting irrationally. Uriah does not go home. Uriah's mind is still back out there with the army of Israel, knowing that he could be of service with his comrades and his captain, fighting this battle for Israel, for his king. I believe he was a great man. Verse 9, the Bible says, Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all his servants. The Lord went not down to his house. That was told David, that Uriah did not come home. And then David calls for Uriah again, and he asked him, look at this, brother. He asked him, verse 10, why didn't you go home? Why would that be a concern to David? Why would that be a concern to King David at this point? What's it matter? Why didn't you go home? What's it matter? I love Uriah's answer to his king. Look at what he says to David, verse 11. He says, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat, to drink, to lie with my wife? He says, shall I do this when they are out doing it? His mind is still back over there doing the things that a soldier has set his mind to do. And it's time for them to be there, brethren. And when he comes back, he feels like now, while he's here at home, he's out of place, because he needs to be back there fighting this battle. That's what he's trained to do. Uriah's a good man. He says, as thou livest, that David, as you live, as your soul lives, I will not do this thing. Isn't that an answer? I'm not going to do that. So David says, will you tarry here for a few days? David turns around and has a celebration. Gives Uriah a drink. Wants Uriah to get drunk. And wants him to go to his house and lay with his wife. That way he can cover his own sins with these activities. Uriah still did not go. So here's what happens, brethren. He calls Uriah. And he's written a letter, and he says, you give this letter to your captain, Joab. You take this letter to him. I want you to imagine this now. This is the man who has been faithful to his cause and to his God. This is the man who King David had committed adultery with his wife. And now he is carrying a letter back to the captain of the army of Israel, and it is his own death warrant. David said to Joab, "You put Uriah in the hottest battle, and then when he's out there in the hottest part of a battle, you withdraw from him that he dies." Did David sin? Did David really mess up? How many commandments do we have from Exodus 20 in the Old Testament? Do we have 10? He's broken 5 of them. He's broken 5 of the 10 commandments. Do not commit adultery. He's done that. Do not covet your neighbor's wife. He's done that. Do not steal. He stole another man's wife. Do not lie. He's lied about it and deceived. Do not murder. He had him murdered. 5 of the 10 commandments. Did he sin? Absolutely. And what did he need? After all of these things have transpired, what did David need? He needed somebody to come to him and be totally honest about what has happened. That's what he needed, brethren. He did not need somebody to come and soothe and pacify him. He needed somebody to be totally honest with him and tell him, "This is what you've done. And brother, you need the forgiveness of God. This is what has happened." And when somebody comes to you out of love for you, and they're trying to get you to see the sin that separates you from God, out of love and trying to get your relationship restored back to God, I believe they love you. They want you to be in that good relationship, faithful relationship, loving relationship with God. If you have sin in your life, you're separated from Him. You're separated from His salvation, from His peace, from His hope. Can you tell me what we need any more than that? Salvation, peace, and hope. I need those things every single day of my life. Do you agree with that, brethren? So what God did, 2 Samuel chapter 12, is He sent Nathan the prophet to David and He gave him the parable of the ewe lamb. There was a poor man and a rich man in one city. The rich man had an abundance, the poor man had a ewe lamb. There was a traveler that came to the rich man. Well, he spared all of his flocks. He decided to take that poor man's ewe lamb. That's it. He had that ewe lamb, and the rich man decided to just take it and dress it for the traveler who had come to him. Look at verse 5 of 2 Samuel 12. The Bible says that David's anger wasn't just kindled, it was greatly kindled against this. He said, pertaining to that rich man, "As the Lord lives, the man that has done this thing will surely die. And then he will restore the lamb fourfold, because he had no pity." And then the infamous words in verse number 7. Nathan responded to King David. And brethren, I know that he acted the way he should have with all due respect, because he's standing before the king, but he says to King David, "Thou art the man. You had no pity." David needed a heart that could be broken and contrite. And Psalm 51:7 says that's what God desires, that broken, contrite heart. That is a sacrifice to God. Brethren, he had that. and it was tender. Young people, middle-aged people, all people, please listen. If you get to the point where you cannot be touched with the instruction and teaching of God, please check your heart. You're the only one who has control over your heart. Circumstances in this life, they will come. You will sin. Do everything in your power to keep your heart tender. And allow the Lord to work on you. Brethren, I'm certain if I live another 30 or 40 years, I'm going to sin. When I do, I need to handle that accordingly. David had a tender heart. He also needed the assurance of forgiveness. Our number one problem is sin, but God forgives it. And Psalm 32:1 talks about there's forgiveness with God, and he needed continual strength to carry on from this. And that is exactly what David did. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 7, he said of the man that had committed adultery, "You forgive the man, lest he is swallowed up with overmuch sorrow." If I do not understand and I do not believe that I have been forgiven, then the sorrow can absolutely just engulf me to the point that I'm debilitated. Ladies and gentlemen, God forgives you. And you know what we should do as God's children? Forgive those who sin. After they have met God's demands. The second thing, and this is what I want to talk about, his reaction. How did he react to it? 2 Samuel 12 and verse number 13. Look at it, brethren. Here's his reaction. When the parable of the ewe lamb was complete, David said these words, "I have sinned against the Lord." There's his reaction. He owned the sin, didn't he? He did not try to blame it on whatever it was he was experiencing in life, loneliness or whatever it could have been, other problems, ineptness, I don't know. He said this, "I've sinned." And I do believe that when we are after God's own heart, we own that sin. We have done it. This is what I've committed. The Bible teaches that he turned to God, and the God of heaven forgave him. Psalm 51, will you turn there just for a minute and let's read a couple of verses. Psalm 51, this was, we believe, in a response to what David had done throughout all of this with Bathsheba, with Uriah the Hittite. He wrote this psalm. Verse 1, Psalm 51, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God." What did David need? Forgiveness. From where does that come? God's mercy. And he says, "According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." And that's exactly what Nathan told him. Nathan told King David, number 3, that your sins are forgiven, but there will be consequences to the sins. And brethren, there always will be consequences to sin. Always. You take, for example, a man or a woman who they've had problem or issue with alcohol, and they have just indulged themselves in alcohol. They know there's a problem with it. They decide to make things right and come to God. They want forgiveness. They realize because of that, there is a lot of things they probably would not have done if they had not indulged in it. But they did and created more problems for themselves. They want God to forgive them. Will God forgive them of the sin of drunkenness and whatever sins that may have come along with that? You absolutely better believe He will. However, what if the consumption of such has destroyed their liver and then cirrhosis of the liver sets in? Will God remove the sin? It will be forgiven. But you may have to live with that consequence the rest of your life. There were so many things that happened to this man after this took place. But we do believe he died in faith. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the power of our great God. Mercy and forgiveness, His loving kindness toward us, His salvation, His peace, the hope that we can have. We have sinned against God, but there's forgiveness with Him. This morning, if you are not a child of Almighty God, let me ask you, are there things in your life that you know are amiss that will keep you from a right relationship with the Lord? Do you know what God wants to do? He wants to forgive, but we must meet Him on His conditions. What did King David have to do? How did he need to react? He needed to say, "I have sinned." He needed to repent of that sin. We believe he did. Psalm 51 displays that repentance, and God forgave him. This morning, if you're not a Christian, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is where forgiveness of sin actually starts. You believe on Him, John 8:24. You repent of all of those past sins. You're changing your mind, which brings about a reformation, a restitution of life. You're turning from the darkness to the light. You confess Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You're baptized in the water for the remission of your sins. The Lord will forgive every sin in your past that you've ever committed. Isn't that wonderful? If you need that this morning, the Lord wants to offer the salvation through His Son. You must respond accordingly. If you are a child of God but unfaithful to God, what does the Lord instruct us to do? To repent and confess our sins. And when we do that, the Bible says that He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And He will, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that something? All of it. Every sin, God will cleanse our souls of it. What a wonderful God we have. Have you messed up? Have you sinned? Would you come? As together we stand and as